Look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Suppose I were to propose today a new holiday. Something to the effect of enough clothes day. Now, it has struck me that maybe what we need to talk about is having enough clothes on day, and we could all relate to that. But I doubt many would go along with the idea of enough clothes days, because most of us, for all of our lives, if not all of us, have had enough clothes. We've had more than one set. We have. So such a commemoration would not mean much. There would not be any real significance, no real connection to such a day. Neither is there much connection for some of our days now. Columbus Day, President's Day, tomorrow. They don't stir me. Sadly, 4th of July celebrations may not be very significant to people who have never known anything but freedom. But for those who have come to this country from countries of oppression, well, that date, I would guess, would mean a whole lot more. Well, this morning we celebrate a special day. A special day. But it is a day requiring you to have a connection with it to make it special. It takes having a real, personal, meaningful relationship with Jesus for you to have any connection to communion or the Lord's Supper. Do you have such a connection, a real connection with Jesus? Do you have a connection, a real connection with communion? We're going to read 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to start in verse 23 and we're going to go through 34. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come." Connection. Connection comes as you actively remember Christ. Paul was a later apostle, but Paul had received from the Lord what happened as that new covenant that we celebrate this day was established. Now, how Paul had received what he received is not made clear, but that he had and from whom is clear. He said, "Jesus gave me this." And in what he gave him, this is what he was told. "Do this in remembrance of me," Jesus says. Just as the Passover recalled the redemption from Egypt, communion calls to mind the redemption of Christ from bondage. Communion is to remind us of the price paid for our redemption. Communion is to remind us for the price paid for our freedom in Christ. Paul mentions the solemn night in contrast to the irreverence the Corinthians were showing. And in that night, Jesus had taken the bread and he described it as his body. And the Jewish people had that same practice of taking a piece of the bread and breaking it and hiding it away. And he says, the body, that bread is my body. Then he took the cup. He described it as the blood of the covenant. Because there is not a covenant made in biblical understanding without there being the death of one who made it. And Jesus said, here is the blood of the covenant. And so that's why I say almost every wedding that I am a part of, that it is as if they took an animal. And you know, I've never had a couple want to do that. I wonder what the deal is there. But there is a tremendous amount of seriousness. Because they would take an animal and sacrifice the animal and literally cut it in two and lay the pieces out. And they would walk through the covenant. To establish the covenant, they would take that walk through death. And they would say, may it be done to me as it was done to this animal if I break this covenant. And so Jesus is saying to us, this is the cup is the blood of the covenant. And it is that blood that is the blood atonement. And so that night is to be remembered. We are to remember, we are to observe it until he comes again. That his body was broken, that his blood was shed as a sacrifice for sin. And he went to the cross, not so much out of great love for you, but of great obedience to the Father. Is it anyone's birthday today? We celebrate birthdays not because the person was born that day. We celebrate birthdays in remembrance of when they were born. Birthdays are a time of celebration, a time of thanksgiving for the person. So too is communion a remembrance, a celebration, a time of thanksgiving for the time that Christ came, but we're to do it out of great obedience to the Father. In my utmost for his highest, Oswald Chambers said, the modern view of the death of Jesus is that he died for our sins out of sympathy. The New Testament view is that he bore our sin not by sympathy, but by identification. He was made to be sin. Our sins are removed because of the death of Jesus, and the explanation of his death is his obedience to his Father, not his sympathy with us. We are acceptable with God not because we have obeyed or because we have promised to give up things, but because of the death of Christ, and in no other way. We say that Jesus Christ came to reveal the fatherhood of God, the loving kindness of God. The New Testament says he came to bear away the sin of the world. The revelation of his Father is to those to whom he has been introduced as Savior. Jesus Christ never spoke of himself to the world as one who revealed the Father, but as a stumbling block. That Christ died for me, therefore I go scot-free, is never taught in the New Testament. What is taught in the New Testament is that he died for all, not he died my death, and that by identification with his death, I can be freed from sin and have imparted to me his very righteousness. The substitution taught in the New Testament is twofold. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It is not Christ for me unless I am determined to have Christ formed in me. So how do you look at the Lord's Supper? How do you look at communion? What significance does it carry for you? Do you see communion as the greatest expression of love? Yesterday was Valentine's Day. That's part of why we planned it this way. Because this is the greatest expression of love that could be made. New life. Are you connected? Connection comes as you carefully examine yourself. Have you ever gone to the store with someone, become separated, and when you went to try to find them, you thought, what were they wearing? I don't remember. And it was right there in front of you. We are to examine ourselves. Paul describes this night of betrayal that Jesus endured in contrast to the irreverence that the Corinthians had allowed. Selfishness and division had entered in. So Paul warns them, anyone who does not eat in a worthy manner as an examined life eats judgment, condemnation to themselves. If you go back to the passage before what we read this morning, Paul was describing, they used the term that some in today would use, that they would observe a love feast. They would come together, all divisions of society within the present and represented by the church, and they would come together and eat this love feast together. But they didn't do a covered dish or potluck. They would bring their food and eat their food, and everybody did that. And what they began to do was began to flaunt how some of them did. They began to flaunt how much money they had, how wealthy they were. They would come with all this elaborate spread, but they wouldn't share. And what they were doing was basically rubbing the nose of the other persons in the fact that they didn't have as much. And then they were allowing it not to become just a time of celebration, but it become a time of drunkenness. And Paul is saying, I don't have any good words for you because you've allowed this. And he says, for some of you, God's judgment is taking place. Because some of you have become ill. Some of you have fallen asleep. And that's just a euphemism for dying. He says, but it's happening because of judgment. Their spiritual deadness or spiritual apathy had led to this irreverence. And for this irreverence, God had disciplined them with bodily suffering. So each of us is to judge ourselves and to judge ourselves rightly. When you go to get in your car and you drive over some gravel, a little bit of gravel in your car over, with your car's tires won't mean much to you, will it? But if you were to get the smallest of pebbles in your shoe under your heel, it would mean something to you. Well, we are to examine ourselves even down to the little pebble in our shoe. It doesn't matter if the sin in your life would be considered large or small. What matters is that it is in your life. So remember this morning both the vertical and the horizontal relationships. Remember your vertical relationship with Christ. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Is it real? Is it personable? Is it meaningful? Then remember the horizontal relationships. And that's what Paul was dealing with the Corinthian church about. He said, because if you want to say that my vertical relationship with Christ is all right, but my horizontal relationships are not, then he said, you're fooling yourself. Because we can't have one right without the other. And so we need to examine ourselves. If you do not want the best for and actively seek the best for the all that Christ desires the best, you have both a vertical problem and a horizontal problem. And so we all need to examine ourselves and examine ourselves rightly. Is there pride in your life? That's what was going on in the Corinthian church. The pride, I've got it, and I'm going to flaunt it. That pride was a problem in their lives. Is there selfishness or conceit in your life? Does Jesus really have first place in your life? So let me ask you, are you really connected to this day?